the hospital. I forgot to mention Sister Shushu, Sister Chantel. You know, she's still up in Nashville at Vanderbilt Hospital. She's been there for about 6 weeks now. So definitely keep her, and Sister Ford has been up there with her most of that time. So keep them in your prayers. Also, we have quite a few families traveling today for the weekend. So keep our church members out in your prayers who are out traveling. Look back in your bulletin again, or turn there in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 11. I'm going to start at verse 31. We read a few verses more than that earlier this morning, but we're going to start at verse 31 of Genesis 11 and verse 32, and then read Genesis 12, 1 through 8 for our a Father's Day message, if you will. But it's for everybody. It's not just for the dads or the fathers, for the young men who are not dads yet. And it's also for our sisters in Christ. So it's for all of us this morning. But Genesis chapter 11, starting at verse 31, reading from the ESV translation of the scriptures, says this: Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son, Abram's wife. And they went forth together from Ur of the Chaldeans to go into the land of Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. The days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Verse 1 of Genesis 12 says, Now the Lord said to Abram, Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran. And they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moriah. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, To your offspring I will give this land. So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. I want to go back quickly, saints, to verse 31, the latter part of verse 31 of Genesis 11. It says they went forth together from Ur of the Chaldeans to go into the land of Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. And then the end of verse 32 says, Terah died in Haran. So what I want to preach this morning is, dads, it's for everybody, mom and dad, and single young people without children. But dads, don't settle in Haran, but move on to the promised land. Dad, don't settle in Haran halfway, but move on to the promised land. Move on to Canaan. You may be seated. Don't settle in Haran, that's halfway, but move on to the promised land, move on to Canaan. Happy Father's Day again. This is the day that we recognize as the Father's Day celebration, and where we celebrate fatherhood and celebrate paternal bonds and the influence of dads in society. In Europe, it has been celebrated on March 19th since the Middle Ages. But here in America, it was in 1910. It was in 1910 when a lady by the name of Senara Smart Dodd started the celebration of Father's Day in honor of her dad, William Jackson Smart, who, although being a single parent, was able to raise six children. Now, the Bible gives great honor to fathers, to dads. You all often hear me talk about how the father should be those four P's, should be the priest and the prophet of the home. He should be the protector of the home and the primary provider for the home. And the Bible gives great esteem to the father, to the dad. But society or the world, not so much. Be it in the 90s when that show called Married with Children with Al Bundy or Homer Simpson or even my boy Jimmy Neutron. When my girls were young, I loved watching Jimmy Neutron, the great inventor. But his dad was a doofus. His dad was just, man. So TV, be it a cartoon or animated show or even real life TV, they oftentimes, just watch it, I know I'm not telling you anything new, but they often portray the dad as being fools and buffoons and just doofus. And many TV shows or movies, some of them don't even have the dad in the house at all. And although, unfortunately, I know that that is true of many households today, Hollywood makes sure you see that picture. I mean, Hollywood, the world, and the devil, they want to make the dad, they want to just throw him out of the house and throw him away. But I stand before you this morning with God, our Heavenly Father, and with this word, and I'm saying that there are some godly fathers. There are some godly dads. There are some young men who are not dads yet, who love Jesus and want to do it the right way. So before us this morning, we have two examples. One is Terah, who was the father of Abraham. And Abraham, I'm going to call him Abram or Abraham. His name was Abram. God changed his name to Abraham. So I'm going to kind of use those two interchangeably. Don't let that throw you off this morning. But Terah is going to be the example that we don't want to follow. But Abram or Abraham is the example that we do want to follow. And even though this message is kind of tailored toward the men, it's for everybody. Somebody says it's for everybody. It's for everybody. It's for all of us. It's not just for the dads, not just for the men. It's for all of us. Now, look, we read it twice already, but the latter part of verse 31 in Genesis 11 says that Terah and Abram and the rest of the family, they left out from Ur of the Chaldeans, headed to Canaan, the promised land. But for whatever reason, they get to Haran, which is roughly halfway, and they stop in Haran. They settle in Haran halfway. Terah had one good goal in mind. Said, we're going to go to Canaan. We're going to move to the promised land. And they started out there, but got in Haran and settled there. The Bible doesn't tell us why Terah decided to settle the family there. We don't know why they pitched their tent there. But for whatever reason, our brother Terrence, they settled in Haran halfway. Maybe he was just comfortable there. Maybe he was afraid to move on. Maybe he just said, well, I'm tired. But they settled halfway. Started out with one destination in mind, but ended up halfway. Can anybody relate to that this morning? Started out with one thing in mind. Started out headed toward one goal, but for whatever reason, you stopped halfway. Well, the problem with Daddy Terah is this. He worshiped idol gods. He was a pagan. He was lost. He didn't know Jesus. Joshua 24:2 tells us that, if you want to read that later, Joshua 24:2 says, and Joshua said to all the people, thus says the Lord God of Israel, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham and father of Nahor, dwelt on the other side of the river in old times, and they served other gods. They served other gods. Gods, hear me well. If you serve in other gods, you're going to never make it to the promised land. You're going to never make it to Canaan. You'll never make it to Canaan if you're serving other gods. Terah was a pagan. He was a pagan. He was lost. He didn't know Jesus. He was lost. And watch this. This is Father's Day. Maybe some of you didn't have a responsible dad in the home. Maybe you didn't have a dad in the home at all. Or maybe you had a dad in the home who didn't know Jesus. Or maybe you had a dad in the home who made a lot of mistakes. God can still use you, and he is using you in spite of maybe the mistakes your dad made in your life. He can still use you. You can still be a godly dad. You can still be a good husband. You can still be a godly wife and a good mom. You can still be a good single lady and a good single man. Just because maybe your dad wasn't the person he should have been in the house, God can still help you to overcome that. Because here it is, Abram, his daddy was a pagan. His daddy was lost. But Genesis 12:2 says, God said to Abram, who had a lost daddy, I will make you, Abram, a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing, God says. So yes, it helps to have a good model in the home. I was thankful I had a dad in the home, and that was a great help. But maybe your dad wasn't in the home, or maybe he wasn't the person he should have been. But God can still make up the difference. I said, God can still make up the difference. He can still make up the difference. But make sure you don't make the same mistake that dad of Terah made. Make sure you want to write this down. Make sure you are led by the right God. Make sure that you are led by the right God, the true and living God. Make sure you're saved. Make sure you're born again as a dad or as a mom, as a man, young man, and young lady who don't have any children. Make sure you know Jesus personally. I said, make sure you know Jesus personally. Make sure you're serving the right God. Make sure you're doing Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You know, make sure you're trusting in the Lord with all your heart. And leaning not on your own understanding. And in all your ways, Aaliyah, in all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will direct your paths. All right, so Tanya gave that to Aaliyah this morning in Sunday school this morning. So make sure you are listening to. Make sure you are listening to and being led by the right God. Somebody said, well, yeah, your pastor, yeah, you know I'm being led by the right God. Well, are you so sure? There are a lot of false gods out there. I mean, let me just list a few. If you're being led by the God of materialism, if he's leading you, he's going to keep you in debt. If you're being led by the God of just fleshly pleasure and lust, he's going to be leading you, and he's going to keep you in disobedience as it relates to the area of sexuality and other areas. Young people, if you're being led by the God of temporary fulfillment and temporary fun, if that God is leading you, you're going to never make the grades you should be making in school. You're going to never excel athletically the way you can if you've been led by the God of temporary pleasure. So, well, I won't study tonight. I know it's summertime, but I won't study tonight. I'm just going to do this or watch this TV. If that God is leading, you'll never end up in the promised land. Dads and fathers, if you're going to move you and yourself and your family onto the promised land, you got to be led by the right God. You got to be being led by the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He has to be the one who's leading you. See, if you're serving other gods, you're going to make a lot of stops in Haran. You're going to make a lot of stops halfway. You're going to make a lot of stops that God hadn't really ordained. You're going to make a lot of stops that really you should not be making. Let me just talk to the single person for a moment. If you're single here and you're not serving the right God and following him, you're going to be stopping halfway all the time. You're going to be selling for maybe that little young lady. Oh, she's so cute. But she don't even know Jesus. If she don't know Jesus, you don't need to be hanging out with them like that. You can be sharing the gospel with them. Our sisters, don't be talking about, well, he's so fine. Well, there are two J's. I hadn't said this in a while. If you don't know Jesus and he got a job, or at least trying to get a job, that's Haran. That's halfway. And some of y'all talking, well, I don't want to be alone. I don't want to be by myself. Well, I think it was an old R&B song. I can do wrong all bad all by myself. Better to be by yourself than with somebody that's going to keep you in Haran, keep you halfway, and don't want you to go on and be all you can be in the Lord. So don't stop halfway. Don't settle for less than. Make sure you listen to the right God and go where he wants you to go. Anybody with me this morning? Make sure you go where he wants you to go. Make sure you go where he wants you to go. Now, the text tells us this in Genesis 11:32 that Terah died there. I mean, he died in Haran. If you hang out in a place God doesn't want you to be, if you hang out halfway, you can end up dying there if you're not careful. Maybe you might not even die there physically, but maybe you just die there, you know, your hopes, your dreams, all those things would just be disintegrated right there in Haran, in halfway. If that's not what God told you to stop, if that's not what God told you to do, don't do it. Keep on moving toward the promised land. So make sure you're serving the right God. So verse 1 of Genesis 12, again, Terah, Abram's daddy, had died in Haran. Then the Lord said to Abram again, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. Now, listen how often God says, I. God can say that. When you and I start saying, I too much, that's a sort of pride oftentimes. That's ready to get us in trouble. But God is saying, I'm going to do this. I'm going to show you this. Verse 2, listen to what he said. He said, I will make of you, Abram, a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. Not just for you. I'm going to make you great so that you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. I'm going to show you how that's going to work in just a minute. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went. Somebody say Abram went. Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. So another thing, to make sure you don't stop halfway, to make sure you don't hang out in Haran rather than going on to the promised land, you got to make sure not only that you're serving the right God, you got to make sure that you're obeying God. Let me say that again. This is kind of just fundamental, but make sure you're obeying God. Abraham obeyed. Abraham heard the voice of the Lord. The Lord told him, Abram, you've been in Haran for a while, too long. Move on to the promised land. Abraham said, hey, let's bust a move. He said, it's time to go. So saints, you and I, when God says go, we need to go. And we need to keep on going, and we don't need to change direction unless God himself tells us to change directions. We need to keep on going. Dad, this is Father's Day. You got to have a roadmap for your family. You got to have a roadmap, maybe some spiritual goals for your family. This is Deuteronomy 6. Have some personal devotional time with your young kids. Have some husband and wife goals. Have a plan for your kids. Have some financial goals, at least a budget. I mean, you got to have a roadmap. You kinda gotta, here it is. You'll never hit a point if you don't have directions to get to that point. Let me say that again. You'll never hit or reach a destination unless you have some directions how to get to that destination. You gotta have some directions for yourself and for your family. Dads, parents, you gotta have some directions for yourself and for your family. If not, you're gonna be settling in Haran halfway all the time. But don't settle in Haran. Move on to the promised land. Now, if you wanted a quick encapsulate of this, Acts chapter 7, verses 2 through 4 kind of sums it up, but we won't turn there. But if you're reading through the New Testament with us, if you don't have a reading plan, I encourage you still to read through the New Testament. That'll be your reading next Sunday, Acts chapter 7. So it kind of summarizes what I've said thus far. So God says, move, and Abram left. Look at verse 5. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran. And they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they arrived to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through, went to a particular part of Canaan, passed through the land to the place Shechem, to the oak of Moriah. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. So, hey, mission accomplished. Abraham listened to God. Abraham moved toward Canaan, and he made it in Canaan. Now, look, in verse 5, there's some few things in there. You know, I've read this about 10 times at least this week. You might have missed. In verse 5, it said Abraham and them had a lot of stuff. They had accumulated some stuff while they're in Haran. Matter of fact, they'd even gotten some servants, you know, indentured servants and slaves were real popular in biblical days. So they had acquired people and stuff. Cause this city, Haran, it was along the coastline and it was a big trade center. So it was kind of popping in Haran. So a lot of stuff was going on. So Abram could have said, wait a minute, God, you telling me to move from Haran? I've been here for a while. This is where my dad stopped us. This is where he said, let's settle down. And matter of fact, my portfolio is increasing. My net worth is increasing. I'm going to stay here in Haran. But no, Abraham said, no, God, I hear you. So I'm going to move where you told me to move. So if you're taking notes, you might want to write this down. Don't let anything or anyone keep you from the promised land. Don't let anything or anyone keep you from the promised land. I'm going to talk about the promised land in just a moment. But Haran was a place where Abram obviously had gotten kind of comfortable there. He had set down stakes there. I mean, things were going pretty good there. I mean, he could have easily said, well, I don't know. I don't know where I'm going. So those of you who know the story of Abram, God didn't tell him exact. God said, just get them moving. I'll tell you where you're going on the way. That was faith and trust in God. That was faith and trust in God. So what is your promised land this morning? What is your, you know, what's your halfway point? Are you in Haran or are you moving on to your promised land? For some this morning, your promised land is this, salvation. For some, under the sound of my voice, even right now, your promised land, the first and best promised land, is salvation, to be born again, to be saved, to become a Christian, to go from darkness to light. Oh, that's a glorious promised land right there. That's a glorious promised land right there, to go from on your way to hell to on your way to heaven. That is a great promised land right there. So for some, this one, that's your promised land, to make sure you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, to make sure you are born again, to make sure that you are on your way to the true promised land, that place called heaven, glory. That's a promised land for some this morning. For others, those of us who are saved, your promised land or my promised land might be some type of deliverance. Maybe there is some issue or maybe some sin that's keeping you from being all that you can be in the Lord. That's keeping you from growing like you should be growing. You know, you've been walking with the Lord long enough. You know, you become kind of stale in your relationship with the Lord. You know your Bible reading is kind of off, and you know your prayer life is kind of off. So your promised land is to repent and get back right with God. Say, God, I want to be closer to you, you know, the way we used to be. So for some this morning, your promised land is a closer, and really that could be all of us, a closer and more intimate walk with the Lord. Are y'all with me this morning? For somebody this morning, your promised land could be simply more peace and joy. Maybe you just stressed out all the time. Maybe you're just anxious all the time. Maybe emotionally you're really behaving like an unbeliever. So maybe your promised land is more peace and joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. I said the joy of the Lord is our strength. And God can give us peace even in the midst of a storm. So if you're not experiencing peace even though you're in a storm, you can say, Lord, that's my promise. Give me some peace. Jesus, you are the Prince of Peace. I need some peace in this situation this morning. Maybe that's your promised land. For some this morning, your promised land is a more committed and dynamic prayer life. Sign us all up for that. That's your promise, and a more dynamic and committed prayer life. See, we forget what we really have. We talked to, and Steve kind of alluded to it earlier this morning. We talked to God who he can move mountains. And we do thank him for the common stuff, and we should. We should thank him for food on the table and clothes on our back, all that stuff. But we should thank him for our salvation. We should thank him for being able to walk into any situation and let the light of Christ, the boldness of Christ be so fluorescent through us that it just illuminates the whole room. We should thank him and praise him for being, we're not like we're better than, but we are of a royal priesthood. We are of a holy nation, a chosen generation. When you and I come up into a situation, especially if there's a lot of darkness, things should just change. Let me say that again. If you're walking in the light, if you're walking with the Lord Jesus Christ and you come upon a lot of darkness, and it's a lot of darkness out there, y'all. Let me say it again. It's a lot of darkness out there, y'all. Just hang around a little bit and just watch the evening news. There's a lot of darkness out there. And so as a follower of Christ, our promised land should be wherever we go, be it in some kind of little committee meeting, be it in the school system, be it on your job, things should change because you, a follower of Christ, has joined that situation. So maybe for some, maybe your promised land is a more greater and a more dedicated commitment to your Bible reading. Maybe you don't read the Bible regularly. Maybe you're just kind of haphazard in your Bible reading. I keep saying this, and I'm gonna keep laboring this because I know as I look out amongst all of you this morning, some of y'all out there don't have a regular, consistent Bible reading plan. This thing, Jeff, turn this off, this thing on. Be real. I know statistically, as I look around, some of y'all don't have a regular, consistent Bible reading plan. There are many of them out there. We put one in the bulletin every week. This is kind of easy reading. It's good reading, though. Just read on through the New Testament. We're in the book of Acts now. A few of us in the book of Acts. So if you don't have, if you have your own personal reading plan, that's great. Keep it up. Keep doing that. But if you don't, I would encourage you, and this is a promised land for you. Here it is. We halfway through this year. Isn't it something? We halfway through 2019. But you've only missed the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You can go back and read those later. So if you jump in now and hang with us through the rest of this year, you read through the rest of the New Testament. And not just read it, not just read it, but read it for application. Read it to obey it. Read it to correct some life stuff. Read it to hold on to God's promises. It's nothing like the Word of God. It's nothing like the Word of God. To be a Christian and not read the Bible, that's a great sin. Let me say that one more time. To be a Christian and not read the Bible, y'all know that's a sin, right? Let me say that one more time. To be a Christian and not read the Bible, y'all know that's a sin, right? I ain't getting much feedback on that. You better give me some arms. Be my armor bearer, Steve, on my way out of here this morning, I guess. You got to read the Bible. Saints, you got to read the Bible. You got to read the Bible. You got to read the Bible. So don't stop in halfway. So here it is. If you're not reading consistently, reading and applying the Word of God, that's halfway. Somebody say halfway. That's haring. That's halfway. You don't want to be in halfway. You want to see what God has to say to you. You want to say, Lord, what do you have to say to me today? I mean, what kind of corrections I need to make? What kind of promises I can hold on to? I need some stability in my life. And God speaks to us, Brother Rucker, each and every day. Every time we open up this Bible. Maybe your promised land is more involvement in ministry, be it here in Love Fellowship or outside the four walls. Maybe that's part of your promised land is more applying the gifts and talents that God has given you, just you. As 1 Corinthians 12 and other places tell us, he's given some things just for you to do. So what is your promised land? Say, Lord, what is my promise? Now, I want to make sure I'm not hanging out in Haran in any area of my life. I don't want to stop halfway. I want to move on to what God is calling me to do. Anybody with me this morning? And then look, another thing I want you to write down this morning about this moving on to your promised land. It's not just about you. It's not just about you. Look at verses 2 and 3 of Genesis 12. God says, Abram, I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, Abram, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So listen, on your way to the promised land, on your way to Canaan, write this down. Dads and moms and brothers and sisters in Christ, your journey to the promised land will be a blessing, not just for you, but a blessing to many others. It's a blessing to many others. A blessing to many others. When I read this, I think about that song by Blessed in the City. We're blessed coming in and we're blessed going out. Blessed in the City. I love the part too. Dad, your journey, moms, your journey to the promised land will be a blessing to many. I love the part of this which says that through Abram, all the earth will be blessed. That's because through Abram, later named Abraham, furthermore, the Lord Jesus Christ comes through his lineage. So the blessing of all the nations, if you will, is really through Jesus Christ. It is really through the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So dads, as you lead your family, not only you're going to be blessed, but they're going to bless others. It's been said, dads, it's been said that really, you can't really tell moms and dads what type of job you've done with your children until your children begin to have children. In other words, to see how your kids are raising their kids, your grandkids. So to then you kind of really begin to say, okay, how did God use me to mark my son, my daughter? Well, I see how they're marking their son and their daughter. Once again, Deuteronomy 6, God said, talk about him all the time. In the morning, when you're walking along the day, in the evening time, in the nighttime, God said, teach them about me. Teach them about Jesus Christ. So don't settle in Haran. Now, the good news to this Christian walk, here's the good news. On this journey, on this thing we call life, God is with us. I mean, Jesus, even when he left, he said, I'm going to send my Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is inside of every born-again believer. So as we live this thing called life, as we move toward the promised land, toward what God is calling us to do and to be, we're not on our own. He speaks to us just like he spoke to Abram. He speaks to us through his word. He speaks to us through people and circumstances. He speaks to your heart and my heart and mine. He leads us. He leads us to where he wants us to be. Let me say that again. God leads us to where he wants us to be. But we got to listen closer. We got to walk closer to him. We got to obey what he says. It's kind of like as we walk and live this thing called life, as we indeed want to follow the Lord, and as we don't want to stop halfway in Haran, want to make sure we're following the right God and then we're obeying him, want to make sure nothing stops us from moving on to what God has called us to do. It's like when I take my dog, our family dog, Gracie, our beloved, friendly family dog. She's a good little sized dog, weigh about 40 something pounds, but she's just very friendly. She's been with us for about 12 years now. Friendly dog. Now, when I take her walking, though, I have her on a leash, of course. And, you know, I am her, I'm not her creator, but I'm her master. You know, I'm her master. And then the family, beloved, they call me her daddy. So I'm like her quote-unquote daddy. And so we're walking along, and sometimes, you know, there are other dogs in the neighborhood. And, you know, Grace is a friendly dog. But all the dogs not so friendly. So every now and then, invariably, especially these two houses, we walk by and they got a fence and their dog runs up to the fence and their dog just all mean. And Grace, she's just friendly, so she just tried to run up toward the fence. And I had to kind of jerk her back because I know that dog is not a friendly dog. And maybe Grace, maybe her discernment level is kind of low or something. She doesn't really know that. So I jerk her back. And it's funny, as I jerk her back, she looks at me kind of puzzled and, you know, kind of, I can tell, almost slightly upset and irritated because, see, she didn't realize that what I was doing was what was best for her. I was pulling her back. Somebody gonna catch me in just a minute. I was pulling her back from a situation that really wasn't the best for her. It was kind of like Haran. It was kind of like the halfway point. It wasn't the best thing for her. So it is when you and I are walking this Christian walk with our God, our Heavenly Father, our Master and our Creator, sometimes you and I, sometimes either knowingly or unknowingly, maybe even before you would say it or even after you would say it, sometimes we're about to walk into a situation, we're about to encounter maybe a situation or a person that's really not the best thing for us. And guess what? Our God, our Master, just like I do with Gracie, he pulls our leash on us. He pulls us out of that situation. And even, and sometimes we're like Gracie, we look and say, why did he do that? Why did that didn't happen? Why did it didn't go through? And we don't really know, but it wasn't the best thing for us. It was a Haran type of situation. It was a halfway type of situation. Now look, I'm gonna give you a couple examples of that. Now I'm gonna talk to the married folks just for a minute. Now, when you were younger, before you got married, before you met your present spouse, before you met your spouse, you know, you met that little guy and you said, man, he's cute and he's this and that. Or maybe, brother, you met that little sister and you said, man, she's fine, she this and that. And the next thing you know, y'all kind of go out a little bit or whatever. Next thing you know, you quote unquote fall in love. And then they just kind of, they dump you or whatever. They just move on, right? And you're like Gracie, you're looking all puzzled and all mad. Why did that happen? You just didn't know. You didn't know why that happened, but God said, I had to pull you away from that situation. All right, fellas, I'm trying to help you out, trying to set you up. But then later on, brothers, you met your wife. Wait a minute, y'all not with me this morning. You met your wife. And y'all end up getting married. Y'all been married 5, 10, 15, 20 years. You would have settled in Haran. You would have settled in that halfway spot. But God pulled you on out. Oh, y'all not hearing me this morning. God pulled you. And he said, thank you, dear God, for the pull away. Thank you for pulling me out. For some of us, that halfway, that Haran might have been that job that we thought we should have gotten. You know, you were maybe qualified for it. You know, your resume was tight, all that. And then you interviewed, the interview went well. And then lo and behold, you get that letter that all of us have read and said, oh yeah, your resume looks good. Yeah, the interview went well and you kind of smile. Oh, this is getting good. Yeah, but we can't hire you for this position. And you're mad, you're upset. You say, Lord, why did that happen? I wanted that job. But see, that was Haran. That was a halfway point. You did not know that maybe about 6 months later, that particular position was going to be eliminated. And God knew that. And God said, I got another job. I got something better for you. So I'm going to pull you out of that situation. I'm not going to allow that to happen. I'm going to put you in this other situation. So you ought to thank God for the pull away, the pull back. You ought to thank God for not allowing you or not allowing me to hang out in Haran halfway too long. So thank God for the pull away. Some of us, unfortunately, some of us might have dabbled in some stuff that we should not have dabbled in. might have dabbled even drugs or alcohol. Young people definitely don't do that. But then, it is amazing when I think about the pull away or the hair on or the halfway. See, that's not even halfway. That's not even 1/4 of the way. You shouldn't be hanging out there. But it is amazing. It is amazing how some people, as I look back on those days, that as you dabbled in those things, you should not have been dabbling it. It's amazing how some people are still in that stuff. Matter of fact, some people are still in the crack house. Matter of fact, some people are still strung out on this, that, or other. Matter of fact, some people are 6 foot under. But why it is that you or me somehow made it through that? Well, it was because God pulled us away from Haran. He pulled us out. So you got to thank God for the pull away. He pulled us away. He wants us to move on to the promised land. He don't want us to hang out in Haran, whatever the halfway point is, whatever Haran is. And look at this. Look at how Abraham responded after he obeyed in verse 7 and 8. And I'm through in verse 7 and 8. Listen how he obeyed. After he obeyed. Then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your offspring, I will give this land. So listen what he did, saints. Abraham built there an altar to the Lord. He worshiped. Built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there, he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there, look at what he did. He built an altar to the Lord. He worshiped, he praised, and called upon the name of the Lord. So if you're taking notes again, you want to write down Abraham, he is a worshiper. He is a worshiper. He worshiped and praised God. Typically, when you see in scriptures, somebody built an altar to the Lord, that's meaning they worship. They praise God because even then they didn't have a physical church to come into yet. And so Abraham, he said, hey, I'm gonna worship right here where I am. You and I ought to build altars every day. You ought to be worshiping and praising God every day. You don't have to wait until Sunday or Wednesday, any other definite time. Worship God every day. I said, worship God every day. Be a worshiper. Worship God every day. What a blessing it is. We can worship the God of the universe. Matter of fact, God himself, Jesus said he seeks true worshipers. And those of us who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's a blessing, saints. That's a great blessing that we, the people of God, we get to worship God every day. Listen, worship him with your lips and with your lifestyle. So Abram worshiped. He was a worshiper. So dads, be a worshiper. Moms, be a worshiper. Brothers and sisters in Christ, be a worshiper. So make sure, here it is, quick recap. Make sure you are led by the right God and obey him to make sure you're not stopping halfway of what God wants you to do, but you're moving on to the promised land. Make sure you're led by the right God and that you are obeying him. Also, don't let anything or anyone keep you from the promised land. Sometimes you can get comfortable right where you are, and that may not be what God wants you to be. Dads, your journey to the promised land will be a blessing to many. It's going to be a blessing to many, not just to you, but a blessing to many others. And also, dad, be a worshiper. See, sometimes, once again, we can get comfortable right where we are. I remember, when I was at TVA and I was working as a computer programmer, that's what I gotten hired for out of college. And I'd done that for 16 and a half years, and it was a good job, paid pretty good money and all of that. But God began to put a restlessness in my spirit. And so I just prayed and I talked to my wife and just different things. And so lo and behold, God began to show me, in application to this sermon today, not through this particular passage, but really at that time, TVA was just kind of the halfway point for me. That was good for those 16 years. But God said, I have some other things I want you to do. So in listening to the Lord, like Abram, I literally basically left my job to go back to seminary for about a year or so. And then in that time, about a year later, is when God called me here to pastor. So we got to always be listening to God. To God, what do you want me to be doing? Because here it is, for the Christian, we want to be doing whatever God wants us to do each and every day of our lives. Let me say that again. It's not very too complex. You and I ought to be doing every day whatever God wants us to do for the rest of our lives. Whatever that is, whatever that is, whatever that is. God, we ought to be going doing what God wants us to do. Not hanging out in Haran, not hanging out in the halfway point, halfway doing what God wants you to do, but moving on and doing whatever God wants us to do. So Abram, we end up in this text. Abram was a worshiper. And if I had time, I would take you on in Genesis a little further. We see where his son Isaac built an altar. He was a worshiper. We see where his grandson Jacob built an built an altar. He was a worshiper. So here it is, Abram, who didn't hang out in Haran, but moved on to the promised land, who himself worshiped God. We see his son and his grandson worshiping God. And not only that, as I alluded to earlier, through Abram, we see the lineage of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who came down through 40 in two generations. And Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, he definitely didn't stop halfway. When he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed. Yes, he prayed those three times. That, Father, if it's any way possible, remove this cup from me. But not my will. Let thy will be done. See, Gethsemane, in a sense, was halfway. But now he went on to the cross. I said, aren't you glad he went on to the cross? He went on to Calvary's cross. Died for your sins and my sins. Was buried, but rose again with all power in his hands. We don't serve a Savior who is a halfway God. He went all the way to the cross, was buried, and rose again with all power in his hands. And even right now, he prays for you and for me. He prays for you and for me. So through him, through Christ, as God had promised Abram, through Christ, all the nations will be blessed. All who come to Christ are blessed. I said, all who come to Christ are blessed. I'm going to say that one more time. All who come to Jesus Christ are blessed. We're blessed going in and we're blessed going out. All who come to Christ are blessed. Blessed now and blessed throughout all eternity. Blessed now and blessed forever. See, in Christ there is salvation. Matter of fact, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. It's Christ yesterday, it's Christ today, and it'll be Christ tomorrow. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So in Christ there is salvation. In Christ there is deliverance. Matter of fact, he is the great deliverer. Has anybody been delivered from anything this morning? Has anybody been delivered from anything this morning? He is the great deliverer. In Christ, there is joy. Matter of fact, unspeakable joy. He can give you joy even in the midst of sorrows. I said, he can give you joy even in the midst of sorrows. Like I said, we got 5 or 6 people in the hospital now, but God can still give you joy even in the midst of medical situations. He can give you joy even in the midst of some tough financial situations. He can give you joy even in the midst of whatever you're going through this morning, saints. In him, there is peace. I say, in him, in Christ, I'm saying in Christ is all that we need. In him, there is peace. Even in the midst of a storm. Matter of fact, he is the Prince of Peace. I say he's the Prince of Peace. These are not just some little words we throw out. These are biblical words. These are great titles for Christ. He is the Prince of Peace. In him, there's purpose. He gives you purpose to your life. If you wonder, why am I even here? We don't have to go to Rick Warren, the purpose-driven life. You can just go to Christ. You just go to the Bible. Jesus gives you purpose. God gives you purpose. In him, in Christ, there is direction. I said, there is direction. Somebody right now is probably saying, what do I need to do in this situation? Do I need to go left or do I need to go right? Well, in Christ, in him, there is direction. Matter of fact, he is the way. I said, he is the way, the truth, and the life. In him, there is direction. He'll tell you which way to go. In him, there is comfort. I say, in him, there is comfort. So if you need comfort in this morning, don't hang out in Haran halfway. Go on to the promised land. Go on to Christ. He can give you comfort this morning. Also, I read it earlier. In him, you can find grace and mercy. I say, in him, you can find grace and mercy. In Psalms 23, verse 6, I love verse 6. It says, the psalmist says, surely, he says, surely. See, the psalmist was probably having what I call spiritual paranoia. Some stuff was behind him. He was like, well, I keep hearing some stuff behind me. Some stuff keep following me. I don't know what it is. But verse 6 lets me know that it's surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, shall follow you, the child of God. Oh, how long? All the ways of our life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In him, Christ is all that we need, saints. And also remember, in him, we have protection. He protects us from danger, seen and unseen. Remember, once again, thank God for the pull away. He pulls us away from stuff that we don't even know is there. He pulls us away. He pulls on our leash, just like I pull on our little dog leash. He pulls us away from danger, seen and unseen. In him is all that we need. So dads, so moms, so brothers and sisters in Christ, don't hang out in Haran too long. Don't hang out in that halfway spot, whatever it is. Ask the Lord, say, what is the promised land? And I list some earlier, many applications to this. But don't hang out in that halfway spot. Say, Lord, pull me on to the promised land. Pull me on to Canaan. Pull me on to Canaan where I might be a blessing to others. where I might be a blessing to others. Get a lot of hand clap of praise. I'm through. But don't settle in Haran or halfway. Again, that halfway point is any area of your life, anything in your life that you're doing, anything personally. It might be might be an occupation, could be a anything that you're doing or in that God doesn't want you to be there. Sometimes you have to let stuff go. I remember as I began to grow in grace, and I was involved with a lot of different organizations, and God impressed upon me to say, well, how many of those organizations have eternal value? I mean, a lot of organizations do great things. I mean, we need a lot of organizations doing great things. But that was Haran for me, because I got to the point, I said, okay, if it's not having eternal values and some temporal values too, but eternal values, I'm going to pull back from it. So sometimes you have to do that. I said, God, this is your time. I belong to you. How do you want me to use your time? I don't want to hang out in Haran. I want to move on toward the promised land. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for an example out of the scriptures of Terah, one dad who did not know you and who started out for a particular destination, Canaan, but stopped halfway. But thank you, dear God, for showing us a better example, his son, Abram, who had a relationship with you. And we thank you even for that, dear God, because the scriptures are clear. You just called them out of paganism. You called them out of the land of the pagans and said, Abram, I'm going to have a relationship with you. I'm going to make a mighty nation out of you. And so we thank you, dear God, for Abram listening and hearing your call and being obedient. And we know he didn't live it out perfectly, but he did begin to follow you. We know that you even see this, his commitment in the life of Isaac when you told him to sacrifice Isaac, and he was going to do it. He was willing to do it. But of course, you stayed his hand and said, there's a ram in the bush. So dear God, give us obedient spirits. Speak clearly to our heart and mind in all areas. Let us seek you. We do want to trust in you with all our hearts. We don't want to lean to our own understanding, but in all our ways, we want to acknowledge you. So we admit we need help, dear Lord. Guide us by your Holy Spirit. Guide us by your word. Help us to be obedient. Help us to move on to the promised land, to Canaan, and not hang out in Haran, the halfway point. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.